Right, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone that's on call this evening. Thank you for hearts and minds of more and for more. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your will is established in our lives and in the work that we have our hands on. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it's another wonderful prayer session, and I believe strongly that God hears us when we pray. Of course he does. And we will put a pause on our conversations for more, and then we are going to have a part two pretty much later into the year, depending on the leading I have. So the audio sessions are going to be out hopefully tomorrow. I'm hoping they put them out there so we can be able to listen. So you just listen to them again and again and again and again, over and over and over and over and over again. And then we would implement the things that we have listened, going to put them to work. Because when you listen and you don't put it to work, it was better if you listened not. So you're going to learn to put those things that you have been taught to work. And I believe strongly that everything is going to be just as the Lord said it will be. Tonight I'm going to have a very short conversation with you. And God has strategies. The enemy also has strategies. God's strategy will foster his plan. The enemy's strategy will frustrate God's plan. So, the strategies of God fosters his plan on the earth. On the other hand, the strategies of the enemy frustrates the plan of God. Now, as believers who find themselves in this season called more, we ought to be intelligent to know what is happening. Are we yielding to the enemy's strategy of frustrating the plan of God? Or we are yielding to God's strategy of fostering his plan on the earth? Very key strategies like that God obviously uses. It's going to be definitely life-giving to prayer, causing steady, given, a persistently relentless heart that's bent on doing the will of God. Meditation. These are all going to be God's strategy of fostering whatever it is he's doing in the earth, walking in love. You know, and the enemy's strategy of frustrating the plan of God, or frustrating what God wants to do on the earth, will involve some things like confusion. It will involve guilt, condemnation, distractions, doubt. So we must be careful how we either yield to God's strategy or we yield to the enemy's strategy. We have to know. We have to know. I met somebody. I don't know if the person is listening to me now, but person was so troubled. And I got to ask, what's the reason? And you realize the person was afraid. So fear can also be the devil's strategy. See, fear, typical, he's the one. Condemnation. You beat down yourself. That one, he doesn't beat you. He leaves you to beat yourself down. He just watches the whole, he watches the beating process. And you beat yourself. You will not even believe it. You will not believe it. If they told you that he was the one doing it, you will not believe it. You will beat yourself. Not he beating you. He just leaves you to yourself. And the thoughts will lash you. Beat yourself. I did this. I'm like this. As for me, this is my attitude. God never approves of this. And so I'm an outcast. I feel like this. Beat you to yourself. You must be careful when you begin to yield to his strategies. Doubt. You are serving God, and something just comes up that makes you doubt whatever it is that is happening. You doubted. The way you look, I doubt. Sometimes you know that that is the path, but there's just a simple doubt that comes in. Beware of the enemy's strategies. Beware. Sometimes you feel like you can't forgive yourself. Now I get into what I want to talk about shortly. It's a strategy. You'll be amazed to know how many Christians cannot forgive themselves for something that they did or something that they fell in for. And that's why I actually introduced this on my status, so there's not so much a conversation to have. But you get to realize that they are unwilling to forgive themselves of some past mistakes, some past wrongs, some past disobedience to God's will, to God and His will. You know, can't forgive. Say, no, I can't forgive myself. You know, some Christians even try to punish themselves. They sort of like, they try to punish themselves by giving up on the dream that God has put in their hearts to fulfill. Listen to me, and listen to me carefully. Nobody is above the grace of God. Nobody is above the grace of God. Nobody, from the Archpope to whoever it is in the body, nobody is above the grace of God. It means we all are consistent recipients of His grace. Everyone. So, a strategy of the devil to get you not producing more and yielding more and becoming more of what God wants you to become is that He's going to fill you with guilt, tripping yourself and beating down yourself, fighting against yourself over something that you did in the past. Or there's just the past that keeps coming to your mind mentally, and it seems to always bring you down. It seems to always, you know, slap itself at you. I'm telling you, I'm showing you that there must be the hand of the devil in that. Are you listening? So, you're going to know, first, how to identify what God is doing and what He isn't doing. Now, a sure thing that God is not doing is that He is not condemning you. He's not condemning you. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now, actually, in context, walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit is quite clear. It's quite amazing when you read it, actually. There's a contrast Paul is trying to lay to the church in Rome as to those who yield to the Spirit's demand of believing in Jesus as the Christ, thereby following it out with actions. And then those who are in the flesh, obviously, are those who do not yield to Jesus as their Lord, while either trying to portray or make themselves righteous, or attest themselves as righteous. So we must be careful how that we sort of, you know, try to sort of attain a certain mark. I thought to teach this shortly this evening. If you will want to be fruitful in your walk with God, you must first learn to understand this thing I'm teaching you, so that there is no room for stopping. You see, when the devil wants to get you out of what God plans for you to do. What happens is that he seeks to fight you himself. Now, if he doesn't succeed, he will get others to fight what you are doing. So he brings others into the picture to get you out of what you are doing. Now, if he doesn't fail, I mean, if he fails with that, he will get you to fight yourself. Now, that is very dangerous because there is only you who can beat yourself so down that even God cannot help you because you are all about you. So, as a Christian, as a believer, you're going to have to forgive. Now, I could talk about God's forgiveness towards you. I could talk about forgiving others. I'm now dealing with you and yourself in your own mind. You and yourself in your own mind. You have to learn to say that, no, I'm going to be totally reliant on the grace of God, and I'm going to learn to receive the grace of God. So you find out that some Christians try to even punish themselves, you know, by giving up on the dream God has put in their hearts. But you see, it's not about the mistake that you made. It's about what you do afterwards. That's what actually counts. What you do afterwards is what counts. One of the strongest keys, I believe, to help us walking this walk to the very end is to come to a clear consensus in our hearts that it is not of him that willeth, neither is it of him that runneth. But we learn to be recipients of the mercy of God. It's like we can receive God's mercy. We can be totally reliant on his mercy. Totally reliant on his mercy. Not in what we have done. Not in who we are. Not in what we can do. Not in our strengths. But in the grace of God on our lives. Listen to me. There is the grace of God. There is the grace of God. And we all must learn to be recipients of that grace. That grace we never deserved, but he still gave it to us. It's in humility you would learn to receive it. That grace we never, you know, matched up to. But he still chose to give it to us. He still chose to give it to us. So we must now be able to receive continually his grace for our lives. And not trust in our strengths. Not trust in the arm of the flesh. For all of those will fail woefully. Oh, cursed is that man who puts his trust. This time I wouldn't want to say in another man. In man, whether another or himself. Don't trust yourself. You know, let me show you something. I shared this a couple of few minutes ago. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10. We're going to read the story of a publican and a Pharisee who happens to be that guy who feels like, oh, we are very perfect. We don't really need God's help. it's not really, really a problem. You know, there's some people like that. I've not fornicated before. I've not even sat next to a boy before. And because of that, I think I'm the right candidate for God to be using mightily. I think I've not even seen the clubhouse before. I don't even know what alcohol really tastes like. I think I'm the right candidate for God's choosing. My brother, let's see you in what the scriptures are saying. I want you to see you. Now, every time, I always tell people, listen contextually. Listen contextually. Learn to listen within the context of what is said. Now, you could hear me on another teaching, then you hear me backlashing the attitude of falling in for lustful temptations and sins of fornication. That is also God's word. Right? That is also God's word. You also hear me giving cautions on watching out for some of these distractions. That's also God's word. Right? So we're going to learn to listen very well. Listen very well. And oftentimes you should have heard me on quite a number of issues or teachings to actually know what I teach. If not, you would not understand. Let me give a typical example before we get into our scripture. I remember writing a post, if you follow my status, on the Christian sister. And so there's this dear sister that texts me very, can't tell whether I was a hard text because I don't know her to be a hard person, but she texts very happy. Apparently, that's what it looks like. Maybe it didn't look like that, but that's what it probably looks like. And then says, no, isn't it a little bit too hard? I said, okay. So she says, no, the listeners, the things, the people. I said, okay, I clearly understand what you are saying. Then I asked her, I said, let's put listeners away. Because my listeners should be able to know what I'm writing. You, in this person, you I'm talking to, do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Then she says, I don't think I do. I said, okay. So I'm just using this so I can help you always listen with context. So I said, you know, first and foremost, is to the Christian sister. It means that if you are not a Christian, you don't read it. Are you a Christian? Trouble don't come. Are you a Christian? Okay, case closed. Let's continue with that teaching. Luke 18. I'll continue the story at that time. Luke 18, verse 10 to 14. Listen carefully. Right? So, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. So, you know, the Pharisee is that guy who feels like, Charlie, we are very religious people. We have not even in our whole entire life seen some very dangerous scenes of sin. We are very well-schooled people in the law. We know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In fact, Joshua, we are still reading it, but we can quote all of those five books. Hey, those times they could quote all the five. Even now, Genesis... You call someone a Pharisee, a rabbi. This is dangerous. start Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, Exodus 1, Exodus 2, Leviticus, Numbers. Tell me, those times there was no school. It's now that you people are going to school. Yes. So they just get up, they have the Torah, they read the Torah, they can chew the Torah. So that's the kind of person we are talking about. He's knowledgeable in the Word of God. Yeah, he knows a lot about the Word of God. So he sort of has it all, you know, fixed together. He has it all fixed together. Has not gone to jams before. Some of you have gone to jams. All your JHS mates, all what they can remember you for is jams. You have gone to jams. Some of you are jamming people. So you don't fit for some of these things. But that should actually be the publican. You know, should be the publican. Because the publican has gone for jams. He has jammed. His whole life is jams. When you see jams, he is the definition of jams. And Soloku, you know Soloku? How many of us have gone to Soloku before? Be honest. We are all publicans tonight. Soloku? Some of you have done Soloku since what do you call it? 14, 15 years. You already started Soloku. You were in the roadside. You know Soloku? Let me make it simple for you. Some of you were inside. When Ghana was moving forward in the 2006 World Cup, African Cup of Nations, those things they used to gather and do, they gather and they dance Soloku. You know Soloku? You were inside. They were giving beats and you were inside there. So you were like the bees, so. But the bees, they are even the most stubborn ones. Yes, they are stubborn. Stubborn. Seeing them, like, my father locks the door, man. It's not true. It's not true. 30 minutes of going outside, what they go to do in the car is more than the Soloku members. Soloku, at least they are free range. They can just go in. But 30 minutes of a DB outside the house. It's very dangerous. So, the Pharisee and the publican. So the Pharisee stood and prayed. That's with himself. God, I thank thee. See, very good I thank thee that I am not as other men are. See, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Not as other men. Oh, I'm not like this sister. I'm not like this brother. I'm not like this person. I think I've attained some sort of mark of perfection. There's some standard with my life. I'm not like this person. Never done this before. I'm not as other men who are extortionists or extortionists. I've never stolen someone's money before. Some of you are stealing your mother's coins, purse, and things from home. You are stealing since 12 years. The moment your mother sees that you are entering into the room too, she says, hey, won't go for me first, Nimbra. Won't go for me first, Nimbra. She doesn't trust that your staying in the room is going to keep the purse safe. So she sends, she raises an alarm. When she sees that her purse is not with her, do you know why? I'm actually talking about myself. My mother, when she saw that I moved into the room, she said, hey, get my purse for me. Get it for me. So she couldn't trust that. And you know, the funny thing is that it's not that I'm stealing, but I take that advantage to take what I want, because she would not give it to me if I ask her. Yeah. So it's not like I'm going to steal. It's not like my hands were stealing. No, the concept was not to steal. You see, I'm even trying to explain myself. You see, that even shows that I still somehow, I'm thinking that I'm still some way, I'm not supposed to say I stole something. It's nonsense, please. If you take something that somebody says that's not for you, you stole it. So yes, whenever she saw that the purse was in the room, said, hey, get the purse for me. So that's too stealing. Verse 10. So the other one, I'm not an extortioner. I am not unjust. Adulteress, I've never in my whole life. Neither am I, you know, as this publican. You know, the publican were extortioners. That's why he uses extortion, because they steal people's money. Tax collectors, they steal people's money. So no, I'm not like that. So he now switches another conversation. Then he says, I fast twice a week. He said that I'm very spiritual. Not an extortioner, not unjust, not an adulterer, not a publican. I fast. You see me fasting 2 times a week. I give tithes of all I possess. People of God, these reasons will not be the reason why God justifies you. When it comes to salvation and receiving God's mercy in salvation, you should be very confident about what he has done in Christ Jesus. Christ died for me, period. I believe it. Not me trying to do something to attain a mark. No, I fast 2 times a week. I give thanks and all that I possess. You know. Oh, let's see how a publican prays. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Oh, he says, Aish. Me, Soloku, I'm there. Jams, I'm there. Betrayal, gossip, I'm there. Stealing from mommy's purse, I'm there. Milk from the fridge, we are there. Bread, they tell that this bread is for today and tomorrow. Before you come, the bread has reduced in a certain way. We are inside. We are with day inside. So the bread is for 3 days. So the bread is for 3 days. It don't reach 3 days. It don't reach 3 days. And if you ask who took the bread, they'll all say, we don't know. When you have one child, it's very easy. 4 children, 5 children. We don't know. It's Annie. It's no. It's Robito. If you didn't catch the person like this, you didn't catch the person like, hey, you are the one now on the free. We've got nobody. So you have 5 children, unless you catch. Yeah. You catch, and there's maybe one who will not really like bread, so you know that this person doesn't like it. So the rest is the 4. Unless you catch the person, if you don't catch the person, you can't know who the person. Unless you catch, like this one, we've caught you, and you never. Even my brothers that they were 2. Is this? No. Is this? It's not me. It's this one. Ah, it's not me. It's the head 2, 4. You can't catch it. It says, we are not like these publicans. He could not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He acknowledges his need for God. That's period. That's all that the story is trying to tell. He acknowledges his need for God. He acknowledges his inadequacy without God. He acknowledges God's help to him, and he learns to receive that help. He acknowledges it. Then he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. So this is humility to receiving the grace of God. You see, it's easy for you to preach to somebody. Oh, God loves you. Oh, God, this, he really has. But when it happens to you, you yourself are now the one in the case, then you now actually tell whether you actually believe what you've been preaching all of this while. And you yourself. Sometimes we are very nicely teachers of what, but when it happens to you, they say, how could I do this? How? You see, that's exalted. One who exalted himself. So today, you're going to learn to forget everything that you have done, you did yesterday. It slows you down. It's a strategy of the enemy slowing you down to doing whatever it is that you have to do. Sometimes forgiving yourself will be also forgiving yourself on the instructions you know very well that the Spirit of God gave to you to do. There are instructions He told you to do. There are things that He laid on your heart to do. There are things that He specifically told you to do that you never did. You know that He told you to do those things which you never did. You're going to learn to forgive yourself. Go back to those things and start to do them from that period of time. So it's not about the mistake that you've made in the past that counts. It's about what you do afterward. That is what truly counts with God. Listen to Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Let's start reading from verse 13. No, let's read 14 and 13. So somebody should drop 14, then the next one will be 13. So you see that Paul is saying something. Are we going to have more this year? I believe that. In Philippians 3, 14, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. There's a high calling. There's a call of God. It's very high. It's very high. It's wonderful. It's of God. It's in Christ Jesus. I move in the mark of the prize, for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I press for that mark. But you see, you can't press for that mark if you don't have verse 13. He says, brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, not God. Not God. God has already forgiven. That's one thing that I do. He says, what do I do? Forgetting those things which are behind. The things that I've already done. I was there when Stephen was stoned. I was standing there. Stoning him is a very bad apostle. I was there. My own eyes. Stephen was stoned. In fact, I was right on my way to seek permission to kill more Christians on the way to Damascus. The reason why I was going to Damascus was because I was going to seek approval to kill more and to fight more. But there is this one thing that I'm doing now after this light, this glorious gospel of Jesus shone on my life. I forget those things which are behind. I put them away. And I press for the mark of the high calling. See, many of you want to be outstanding believers, outstanding Christians, people that God will use. And I believe that it's very true and it's going to happen. But you see, you stand a very high chance of not achieving this if you cannot learn to forget. You will never fulfill your ministry to an extent if you don't learn to forget. If you don't learn to forget, and you everything that you do, you hold yourself accountable for the things that you do, you might not fulfill your call. You might not. You just might not. Yes. Oh, I'm like this. And then you are down. Oh, I'm like this. You are down. Oh, I'm like this. You are down. Then you now start to punish yourself. There are people like that. Start to punish yourself for the things that you did that you know that you didn't really have control over. You start to punish yourself. How you punish yourself is that you start to get further away from the will of God, further away from the people who God can use to help you, further away from the very environment that should help your growth and that should help you accomplish God's plan for your life. People of God, you have to learn to forget. You have to learn to forget. You have to learn to forget. I had a very interesting young life. I always say this with disclaimer, but I was not bad. But my environment was not good. Yes, I used to go for shows. I used to sing at, shows. I used to sing at shows. I used to play keyboard at shows as early as 14 or so, 15 or something. I used to go and play. Incoming rock star. I remember a time where I went to a Portobello nightclub. I went to perform. Yes, your pastor. I went to Portobello. It's a very dangerous one. And I went to perform. And people liked my voice. Yes, I used to sing. I was telling you that at a very young age, maybe 14 years old, I met D Crime and Sarkodie. Those times. Yes. I was in the same studio with them. Those times. You see, if God didn't call me, I would have been the devil's own by now. Maybe a very calm breed of something. A calm breed of another species of the devil's mighty using. Yes. Oh, I don't think I would have been an upcoming artist. I would have been rock star by now. Oh, in Tamale, there was a time Sherif Gali called for me. Yes. Some of you don't know Sherif Gali. You don't know him. So, you have to learn to forget. And I'm telling you, I seem to have a very good lyrical memory. Like, I can't forget the songs that I used to learn. When I hear it playing, I have to start speaking in tongues. Sha, pa, pa, po, sege. I can sing all of them. Yes, if I want to know something, I just need to put it in a song. And I will not forget. I just need to put it in songs. But you have to learn to forget that those things were things that you did before. Some of you had boyfriends, deadly boyfriends. Some of you had deadly... No, you have to learn to forget. Learn to forget. Learn to forget. I'm not the one saying it. Paul is saying that forgetting those... You don't know Paul. You don't know Paul. Don't say that I'm doing... You don't know Paul. Paul was a killer. Murdered people alive. Innocent people. And he murdered with zeal. So let me tell you, everybody listening to me here, no matter how you've disobeyed God in the past, no matter how you've swayed off into things in the past, or even it looks like there's a present happening of that, no matter how you have done things that were not supposed to be done, no matter how you see yourself in whatever light you see yourself, let me tell you something. The love of God, His forgiveness, is stronger than anything. Now you learn to forgive yourself. Now, as you surrender to God's written word, now onwards, His plans and His purposes for your life will come to pass, and you will reap great dividends in Jesus' name. So you're going to let things go. You know, even when it comes to prayer, the devil can beat you. Hey, the 1 hour prayer you say you pray, you missed it like 4 times. That became the premise to which you never prayed again. That thing you did, it became the reason why you never prayed the way you wanted to pray again. Because he will slap you with, you say you pray, if you didn't pray and you start to feel bad, you said you will do that. You have to learn to forget. Today is another day. What am I doing with today? I told you and I keep telling you, if you listen to the devil, even if you are going to pray 12 hours a day, he'll make you believe that 12 hours a day is not too much. It's not okay. Yes. He said, you say you pray 24. And you start to say, oh, poor me, 12 hours is not, no. Totally rely on the grace of God. The fact that you didn't have a morning devotion today does not mean tomorrow you should feel very guilty that you didn't have a morning devotion yesterday. Listen, you will learn to receive God's love and walk in the presence of His love every single time. Walk in the presence of His love. Don't walk in the past, your past of what is happening. No, walk presently in His love. Like every time He loves you presently, like He loves you there and then, that's His love for you. Never changes because of what you did or because of what you're supposed to do. No, His love is present every time, like every time it's present. So, whenever you get to recognize what you have to do rightly, then is when you should get to it immediately. Then is when you should get to it immediately. You're going to learn to receive God's forgiveness. You're going to learn to bask in God's love. Every time, I want you to know this, God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. He's never against you. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you might be tempted to think He's against you at a point because you did something. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. God is for you. Are you listening? He is for you. I'm not saying sometimes. He's for you every time. As far as you are humble enough to listen to His word and to walk in the light of His word, in that present time, you get to realize that you are supposed to walk with Him. He is for you. That time you get to realize that this, I didn't do this well. I didn't do it. Let me start that. From that moment, He is for you. And everything that I'm talking to you about, I'm telling you, He's for you every time. Every time. Every time. Every time. When you come back, He's with you. Once you get to realize that I must return, from that moment, He receives you wide open in His arms. There's not a time He despises you. Your flesh makes you think like He despises you. The enemy, the devil, and his conflicting words make it seem like he's against you. He is for you every time. When you get to realize that this is that 10 where I must make, He's for you. So you're going to be confident. I want you to be confident, because if you're not, you will get to junctions of your life that will make you think He's not for you. And the enemy will make you always feel like He's not for you. And yourself will make yourself believe that He is not for you. But I want you to know, God is for you all the time. Are you listening? God is for you all the time. That time where you get to realize, I must stand, is the time where He gets on your path. So don't beat yourself. Is that time to exchange a cloak that you've been wearing of self-condemnation, of guilty, having a very guilty mind, to guilt tripping yourself. You're thinking about this. I should have done this. I should. That moment is the time to become all that you want to become. Let me say this to you. In as much as I encourage a lot of prayer, a lot of, study, a lot of fasting, let me tell you one thing. I'm not oblivious of. It's the grace of God. I know how to rest in God's grace. You will be shocked. You will think it's fasting and prayer and what. It's not any of that. Aside all of these things that are supposed to be done, The believer ought to know how to rest in God's grace. God is God, irrespective of whatever it is that you do. He is God, irrespective of whatever it is that you do. And as far as you can recognize who He is in your life, have faith in what He says. It always turns out and it works out for your good. So you're going to believe God. Learn to rest in His grace. Learn to stay in His grace. You see, all that I'm teaching you and I'm talking about right now, you're going to receive it by faith. By faith. You know, salvation is received by faith. Healing is received by faith. Right? Forgiveness will also be received by faith. Without faith, we cannot receive forgiveness. I mean, how do you know that you are saved? Tell me, aside the scriptures, you know. Aside maybe the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart, confirming or affirming to you, presence of Jesus. How do you know? Can we see salvation? We can't see. This salvation, who is He? It's by faith. When you say God loves you, how do you know? How do you know that God loves you? Hey, do you know God? It's by faith. How do you know that He has forgiven you? You'll be there and be waiting for a dream or a vision or an audible voice. You'll wait in vain. It's by faith. You need to key in into God's word and receive the faith that He gives to you. So it's going to be by faith, by faith, by faith. How do you know He has forgiven me? Because the word of God says I'm forgiven. That's period. You know God's word better? Well, you show me what He says about forgiveness and I'll believe what you have to say. By faith. I was asking, you know, someone, I said, have you realized that, you know, there was a point in time of your life, I believe majority of everyone's life, where they believed God loved them so much. And funny enough, you actually start to see His love channeled towards you in a certain way. Like you literally see it. Like everything around you speaks it. Oh. Then there's also another point where you realize that you were beating yourself and you realize those things were not really, really strong that much. You couldn't see it any longer because there was a certain distorted mentality or a distorted mind, maybe because of something that you did or because of something that happened. And you don't really, you know why? Because faith will have Him propelling anything that you receive or anything that you believe. Let me put it that way. Faith will have you receiving all that you believe. So if you're going to believe in God's love, see, it will always find its way to you. It will always find its way to you. So when you started receiving His love, now I'm talking about receiving in the sense where you are actually open to receiving His love. It's not when He started loving you. No, you just decided to have faith in His love for you. That's why people who talk about how God loves them get to experience more of His love. Not because they are special, but because they are acting in faith. And God has no other option than to act in faith in response to what they believe Him for. So when you always get to feel like God doesn't love you, God doesn't do this good, then you also allow whatever it is that does not look like His love gravitate towards you. So we're going to be in faith. We believe that we're forgiving people. Even when we miss it, we are confident of His love. And we make a U-turn at that point, learning what we ought to do right so we don't fall into that any longer. So, you're going to be confident. It's our year for more. And there should be nothing stopping us in any way, fashioned in any form, to get us doing what God wants us to do. See, there are times where you feel like you should have shown someone love in a certain way you didn't. By faith, believe that it's over. Look forward to becoming whatever it is you should become presently and now. Everything that you thought you should do, press forward. Press forward. Move forward. And start there and then. That's how to get it right with God. It's not to beat yourself. It's to start getting it right there and then. So this evening, you're going to forget those things which are behind you. They are behind you. Forget them. You can't press if you have those things behind you. Forget those things behind you. And start to race quickly. Move quickly. Move quickly. Move quickly. And start to receive the grace of God in your life. I pray for you who is listening to me tonight. There's a fresh start from guilt and things that hold you bound. You know, when you say, I'm really sad because I'm not able to pray. Well, that's the wrong mentality. It's that I realize I'm not praying and I'm going to get to it. I'm really sad that I'm not doing something. No, I realize I'm not, and I'm going to get to it. Oh, there were activities of the flesh plaguing my heart. I realize it's not good. Now, I'm going to stay with God's grace. Stick to His word. See how from there and then I can get moving in the direction He wants me to. Listen to me. Rely on God's grace. Depend on God's grace. You see, there are certain times in ministry you have to learn to depend on God's grace. See, my most powerful meetings, you'll be shocked, are most likely the meetings I never prepared for. I'm most likely, I can tell you for free, are most likely meetings I never prepared for. Meetings I slept into. Meetings I woke up into, and the grace of God was abundant. Now, that's not to be negligent and saying that I'm not going to be preparing, but there are times where I get to lean on the grace of God. It's about God. If it's about God, it cannot be about me. And if it's about Him, I will not make my strength seem as though it is because of my strength that things are working. In this ministry, you will learn to depend on the grace of God. Don't depend on how well you fast, or how well you pray, or how long you pray, or how well you do things. No, I'm teaching you in this year, these are all strategies, that we're going to rely on the grace of God. Yes, we're going to pray. Yes, we're going to study. Yes, we're going to fast. Yes, we're going to prepare ourselves. But amidst all of these things that happen around, we're not going to take our eyes off the grace of God. You know, there's not a time, maybe there is, but it's not likely with me that I like to be totally reliant on myself. Maybe I missed it if I were, but it's not normal with me. I'm telling you, before I actually started taking prolonged fastings, a man of God called me and he said to me, "Do you fast and pray?" I said, "No, I never fast. I never pray. And I will never fast. And I will never pray." That much. I'm not talking about like I pray, but I'm not talking about the way he was trying to question me that, "Do you pray for that?" I said, "No." And he was shocked because I saw the grace of God tremendously. I didn't even think there was a need for fasting and prayer. I'm not lying to you. This person, you can ask this person. It was Pastor Prince Bequeen. Yes. I saw the grace of God tremendously in my ministry without fasting. And without long prayers, I can tell you this. So then he said to me, "I think you have to fast. And I think you have to fast." I said, "No, I don't think I need it." He said, "No, I think you have to fast." Yes. So we're going to learn to rely on the grace of God. Are you listening? Receive His forgiveness. Believe in what He has said concerning you. Believe it. Believe that he says he's with you. Now, notwithstanding the place of labor, and that's the balance I'm trying to put in what I'm telling you. Notwithstanding the place of labor, I'm not saying that prayer is not good. I'm not saying fasting is not good. But when you allow your fasting and your prayer and your dedication become the reason why you think God is using you for whatever, that's a very bad mentality to have. It's a very bad mentality to have. It's not right to have. Yeah? Believe the grace of God. Believe the grace of God. Receive His forgiveness. Right? Don't trust yourself. Trust God's grace. Every single time, don't trust. Don't trust in your ability to sing well. Don't trust in your voice. Don't trust in the things that have been given to you in the natural that look like they should be reasons why God should use you. Don't trust in those things. They always fail. They always fail. You remember David, right? When he was about to go fight Goliath's battle, you know, Saul called him and Saul gave him an armor and said, you know, David, you're going to fight a very huge giant. Take my armor. You know what David did? He put on the armor and he said, no, I'm not familiar with this. What I have is the grace of God. Get me a sling. Get me some stones. That's the grace of God. Get me that. In ministry, you would need to rely on the grace of God. You say, get me a sling. Get me a stone. That's the grace of God. It looks like it's not going to work. It looks like that is not powerful enough. It looks like that thing will not work. But I'm going to rely on the grace of God. I'm not going to rely on armors. I'm not going to be relying on physical apparels. I'm not going to be relying on your shield. Yes, you said it's strong in brass. It's shielded with stainless steel. It's coated with the most hardest metal in the whole world. I'm not going to rely on that. I'm going to rely on the grace of God. It's called tungsten. It's the hardest metal. It's very hard. It's harder than brass. It's harder than iron. Harder than stainless steel. But I will not rely on that. Oh, the grace of God is what I have. Yes, I'm fasting. Yes, I'm praying. But it's the grace of God. The favor of God towards me. So you're going to also say, in times where you seem like you are falling prey for that with the enemy, schemed and plotted, you see, the grace of God is what I rely on. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace in this place. Thank you for everyone who's listening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the enemy will not succeed at causing us to believe in ourselves more than we believe in your power and more than we believe in your grace. Thank you for clarity in Jesus' name. Amen.